They cut mine, they just kind of go along the sides and the back, and that's it.
Well, today is the 23rd of October.
I think so.
And it's 2019. This is actually the 64th in our series of interviews with different people that have connections to Western Dubuque in different ways. Today we're visiting with Steve Rutz. So, Steve, welcome to the program. And usually, I ask about your origins, where you grew up, and your family a little bit. Give us a little background on that to get going.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Manning, Iowa. It's about 80 miles west of Des Moines, and about 1,500 people, about the same size Farley is or Epworth, and. I pretty much did about whatever was available as far as activities. I was in the marching band and concert band, in plays. I really enjoyed playing football. And then we started a baseball team when I was a junior. And we wanted to get a golf team too, but the football coach said, no, you guys will be out for track. So we didn't get a golf team for about 10 years later.
You have brothers, sisters?
Yeah, I have three brothers and one sister. They're all younger. They went to school too, and they went to their own ways of what they wanted to do for jobs and schools and things like that.
What year did you graduate from Manning?
1965, graduated, and at that time that was 64 kids, and that was the largest class they had to date. And there were a few larger classes later, so it's a relatively smaller school. 32 boys, 32 girls in our class, so that was handy for prom.
Sure.
But we had a lot of fun, and I guess just, we were pretty close-knit bunch of people.
Okay.
We had like 16 seniors on our football team out of the 32, and we supported each other in basketball, which I never competed in, but I did do track and eventually baseball. But it was a fun time to be in high school.
Yeah.
No one locked their doors. My friends would walk in the house and Sunday morning and eat some of the coffee cake Mom made for after church.
And isn't that great?
We knew who it was. It's just the guy I hung around with.
That's awesome.
It was funny.
Did you travel at all with your family a little bit? Or
Very seldom. My dad was manager of a grocery store, and so he was pretty well tied up Monday through Saturday night. And we did have a few trips to different parks in Iowa or something like that, but nothing out of state that I remember. Him and Mom would go to the National Legion Assembly or whatever it's called a few times. Assembly. Yeah, and they...
He was a veteran then of World War II?
He was in the China-Burma-India part of World War II, and never talked about it, and I wish I would have asked him more questions, but it's too late.
Okay, so at some point you had to make a decision post-graduation what to do with yourself, so how'd that go?
Well, not too good.
Okay.
That summer I needed to make some money. Looked around, and the best job I could find was working on Interstate 80, which was going from Des Moines to Omaha at the time. And the other highest paying job I was looking at was $1.25 an hour in a hog processing plant. But everybody who worked there, the skin in their hands was falling off. And so I got onto a crew that was putting in cement culverts for little streams that would be under the Interstate 80. And so I had to drive about 60 miles to go from Manning to a little town called Shelby, which is close to Harlan down in that way, and I was one of the last guys hired, so I got all the crappy jobs. Really got sunburned tying steel the first couple days. I learned a lesson there. And then, of course, driving back, and I was on the baseball team, so a few times I barely caught the bus, you know, for the away games, but I was able to make it work somehow.
Okay.
And that didn't last too long. The company went bankrupt after about a month, and I thought, now what am I going to do? And I called up my best friend's dad, who was he hired people to do jobs for the state, and the state fair was coming up, and he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, whatever pays the most. So he got me on the fireworks crew for the state fair, and that was kind of neat, because I got to do a lot of things with the fireworks and so on, and enjoyed it. And there was a couple other kids on there, and we had a pretty good time with the guys who were on that crew all year long.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I really wanted to do at that time yet. And there were three other guys and one girl from my high school class that were going to Iowa, so I thought, well, hey, if they can do it, I'll do it too. So my first year, I went to University of Iowa.
Okay.
And there was a requirement at that time, of course I didn't know it until a little later, that you had to have a year of foreign language as a requirement for graduation. And I'd already tried a little bit of Spanish in high school, and it did not work out at all. And so I checked around, and then you and I didn't have that requirement. And at that time, I was thinking of being a teacher or a dentist. And there has another job, but a vocation. And so I transferred to UNI and got into the teacher preparation program, and it was a lot of fun. I had a major in phys ed and a minor in math, and also a coaching endorsement. And I was there, we got the job done, and when after those, I was on the gymnastics team the second semester of my sophomore year up there, and also junior and senior. Basically jumped trampoline at the time, and then a few years later they took that out of gymnastics because of accidents some people had. But I never got hurt, so I enjoyed it. And going to different meets with the gymnastics team was a lot of fun. We had the college aspect of performing was a lot different than in high school.
Yeah.
But we always had fun no matter where we went.
Where'd you reside when you were in college at Cedar Falls?
Well, let's see. It was three different homes. A lot of the people around the campus rented out their basements, and that sophomore year there I had one roommate. He was an older fella, had a nice little convertible sports car, which was fun to ride in. And then my third and fourth year moved to a bigger house, and they had a room for six guys in the basement, and we were all brand new. No one of us was there the previous year, so. And almost all of us stayed for the second year, too. It was a little more fun having six
nice
guys
place.
There. Yeah. And we were only about about one block away from the residence halls, Lather and Bartlett. So it was close to the campus, and we just had a lot of fun. Friday and Saturday nights, we played a lot of cards. And it just worked out good for us that way, too.
So you, you got to your senior year, and it was time for maybe looking for job opportunities. How'd that progress?
That came up pretty quick. I think there, back at that time, the Des Moines newspaper listed a lot of the opening statewide.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a computer back then that took care of all of that. And so every Sunday we would get the paper and kind of circle possibilities of school districts that had an opening for, it would be agriculture, math, history, whatever. And about in April, I sent three or four letters out with either phys ed or math or both in coaching. And at that time, the Vietnam War was, this is 1969 when I graduated, was going pretty fast and furious. And they bussed all of us down to Des Moines in March for our physicals for the service. And that was really different for me. About half the guys in the area on the bus I was in, there were several buses, they had their arms taped up or they were limping or whatever and had excuses, all sorts of them. And the funny thing was, after they got done meeting with the doctor or person evaluating them, they passed really easy. And everybody passed. There wasn't anybody had a problem that couldn't be fixed. And I just thought, well, okay, it was my turn, it's my turn. And of course, I passed too, and it didn't bother me any because my dad was in World War II and my brother was over in Korea at that time. And but I still applied for positions. The county board for county draft board said that after I graduated, I'd be drafted. So that's what I expected. And after graduation, they changed a little bit because they needed a lot of teachers in Iowa, and a lot of the people who could be teachers were drafted previously. And so they extended to everybody that I knew anyway another year of going to be a teacher to help pay back your loans and things like that. And that's when I wrote a letter to about three or four schools. West Dubuque, I didn't know anything about Eastern Iowa, but I came down and interviewed with Mr. Wickham and Mr. Buckman and Mr. Drexler, and I was pretty impressed because there was a phys ed opening and they also needed math at a brand new junior high in Farley. And so I applied for that and they offered it to me. And so I thought, well, this would be a real neat start.
Did you get the offer right there when you were interviewed or later?
I think Mr. Drexler made that decision that morning because he had quite a few interviews to do yet. Yeah. I think there were something like 30 new teachers for that next school year,
right,
starting in 1969. And interviews were short, but they hit the point. And I think Mr. Drexler offered me the contract to fill in at the new junior high in Farley.
So he was able to then get you a military deferment, or how'd that work?
The draft board already told me that I could take the first year after graduation to find a teaching job, try to make some money and pay back, you know, some of the school loans. So I just took advantage of that.
Right.
I thought, well, why not, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my first time in Dubuque County, and well, here it is 50 years later, I'm back in Farley.
Okay, so then you got your assignment for that year?
Yeah. Mr. Wickham was the junior high principal. And my wife, Marilyn, coincidentally, was the secretary for the principal and assistant principal. And assistant was Jim O'Meara. And I remember going out on my first date with her to a movie in Dubuque. Oh, it must have been about October or something like that. And things worked out okay. And we got married a couple years later. And she enjoyed her job too, being secretary, and sold lunch tickets and punched lunch tickets and kind of escorted different people to the office who needed to hear something different than the teacher that sent them to the office. So, but she got people directed in the right place. And I think she enjoyed her job too.
Lots of memories there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So you taught phys ed?
Yeah, I had all phys ed the first year, and then the second and third year I was half phys ed, half math. And then after that, we kept growing at an amazing pace. The last 3 years I was doing all phys ed also. But I enjoyed doing math. And I also coached football, wrestling, and track those 6 years. And I got to know quite a few of the kids real well that way. Right. If I'd get them for phys ed and grades 4, 5, or 6, and then they come up to junior highs for 7 and 8. And I really enjoyed the coaching experience too.
How about just some memories of some of your colleagues that you worked with?
Oh boy. Well, like I said, there were a lot of new teachers there. Mike Healy was one. He was a local guy from Farley, and he taught history and basketball. Marv Heyer was a science teacher who I thought did a really good job with his science program, getting kids interested in it so they could take it further than the textbook. My goodness, and I forget names, so I'm getting started there already.
Billy Betts.
Bill Betts, yeah. He was a piece of work. Nice guy. He was in the service, and he could talk to the kids all the time, and they listened.
What a gift.
Yeah. He had them right at the end of his fingertips there, and if it was just something regular or made up, it didn't make a difference. He got those kids believing in what they were doing in school, and he was enjoyed by a lot of the people.
Yeah.
Jim Motti comes to mind also. He was a counselor and just had a great personality, the girls and the guys. And they even came back, you know, after they were in high school to see Jim and talk to him again. Industrial arts people were Al Main and Graydon Grimm. And there's Graydon lives here in town yet, and Al's over Piasta. Close to a Piasta area. And they did a really good job with brand new facilities, working with the kids with tools. And then every year they'd meet and decide on something to make in a mass form, like wooden stools or something like that. And they would go around and sell stock to buy the wood and everything, and then decide who's doing what. And it was kind of a mass production thing. And that way they were taught how a business operates at a small scale, but the kids picked up, oh, this is how you do with running in a factory or something. Oh, boy.
Okay, so that was in the end of the 70s when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
You had some thoughts about further education for yourself?
Yeah, I after teaching a couple years, I thought, well, this was fun. But after 6 years, I thought, well, I should just try administration if something would open up. And so I went to night school at UNI during those 6 years and got my master's in school administration. And had to write a small thesis, and because I'm not really a writer, but I interviewed that spring, and a couple schools said, well, they couldn't even consider hiring me until I had that thesis, you know, passed and okay. So spent a lot of time with that. I had some good help with Dick Math. Let's see, Dick.
Went to junior high?
Yeah. He was a tag teacher. Dick, was it Schmitz? No. I'm embarrassed.
It'll come.
Yeah, anyway, he helped me a lot with the math that we had, that I was using. and some other people were helping me with the English part, and we put together a thesis in 11 days and nights.
Is that right? That's impressive.
The night that we got to bed the earliest was already 12:30 in the morning.
Okay.
But we got it done.
Wow.
And then I made another contact and let them know that, well, it had to be evaluated, and I passed without a problem. And it ended up at a school way over in the west side of Iowa on the Missouri River. It was Onawa, West Monona. They needed a new junior high principal because they had a new high school and they wanted to move the junior high into the old high school. So that was my first experience on the other side of the state.
Okay.
And it was something different, but I enjoyed most of it.
So that would have been like late 70s?
That would have been the school year 75, 76, okay. I think it was. And it was a little bit bigger town, about maybe 3,000. And they had a six-lane main street, which was pretty awesome. It was kind of the flagship thing to come and see. Well, six lanes of...
That's big stuff.
Yeah, of Main Street for about four or five blocks, you know, something like that.
So how long were you there?
Just 1 year.
Okay.
It kind of goes with a story. I was a junior high principal, and the high school principal and the superintendent, the three of us kind of rotated on supervising activities like football games or basketball games. And it was, I think, in about March, and I was supervising a girls' sectional or regional game. And when I came home, Marilyn had a glow on her face. And she says, "Hey, you're home." And she said, "Guess what?" And I says, "Well, I don't have a clue. What's new?" And she says, "I got you a new job tonight."
Okay.
So I thought, "What?" And she said, "Well, Mr. O'Meara called up. They talked for a while, and he asked her if she thought that I might like to come back to Western Dubuque and be the assistant principal and athletic director at Cascade High School." He had that position offered to him and took it, and then he had to kind of fill in the faculty from there. And Marilyn was really excited to get back to her home area.
Sure.
So that next week, I called Mr. Drexler on Monday after that game and got an interview time for the following Saturday. And, the interview went pretty good. Wayne was a well-respected man. I can't think of anybody who could say he's not one of the best guys in the school district or wherever he would have been. And we talked for a while, and then at the end of the interview with him, we got serious, and he said, "Would you come down to Cascade and do the job and work hard to make sure everything goes good?" And I said, "Yes, I'd be glad to do that." And he says, "Well, you got the job." And okay. We went from there. And then the next week, I figured that a lot of people would be moving towards Cascade for the new teachers and so on. I thought, we better find a house before there's nothing there to be right. Sold. So I signed the contract with Mr. Drexler, and then the next week we went down looking for houses in Cascade. And we picked one out, and we were in that one until 1988. And then we built another one a little bit further south. We had four kids, and we needed a little more room than the first house had.
Okay. that must have been... that transition, Steve, had to be challenging as far as moving from a parochial situation to a public and mm-hmm. a lot of things mixed into that, faculty, kids, whatever, right?
Yeah, we were almost immediately interviewing teachers for positions at the new high school. And there were a few families in Cascade who didn't like it, going from a private school to a public school. I think I knew about five, but almost everybody else was excited to get a public school in Cascade. The kids, it didn't make any difference to them. And most of the parents thought it was going to be a good deal because that would make the town perhaps grow larger, be more economical, and things like that. And the thing that I was really amazed with for, I'm going to say, at least the first 15 years, was that the amount of parental support we received. It was just awesome. And the people down there, they were very glad to have a bigger high school. We had a lot more offerings. We increased the sports or activities that children could be in or the kids could be in. And they did like it. The kids did not like the fact that we closed up their room to sit in when they had study hall. I think they had a place for seniors to kind of sit and visit. We needed that for some classrooms, so they missed their freedom place, but they got over it.
Sure.
You know, things had to change, and that was one of them that they didn't appreciate, but they understood we needed more classroom space. And we added portables that first year, and then during that first year at Cascade, there was a bond issue voted on, and it did pass pretty high, I think 60, almost 70%, but the people in Cascade had over 90% of yes votes for it. You could tell that they really wanted to get that high school there.
Yeah.
It was then, we went from there.
So, you were, was that the sort of the time that you got started in the track business with being a starter? And
well,
was that later on?
Not really. When I was at the junior high back in Farley, I wanted to be a football and track coach. And West Dubuque did not have a football program at that time. But a couple days after the first day of school, the AD at Washington Junior High in Dubuque called Mr. Wickham and offered that if we wanted to join their seventh grade flag football program, we were welcome. And when Mr. Wickham finished that conversation, later on in the day he got a hold of me and he explained what it was. And he said, well, it's a flag football program for seventh graders. And he said, can't pay you anything for it because it's not in the handbook, teacher's handbook or contract. And I said, that's okay, I don't care. I want to coach football and track. And he said, so he called him back and we joined that football league, a seventh grade flag. And then the following year, that whole group of kids in Dubuque and West Dubuque, we went with eighth grade tackle football, had to order a lot of uniform, helmets, and shoulder pads and stuff, because we didn't have any of that. So we got new equipment. And those kids enjoyed it. They liked football. We had very few little itchy little things, bumps and bruises, but nobody really got hurt bad at all, and I was glad of that. I was having a great time coaching what I really wanted to do, and we kind of went from there. And that class that started in 1969, they've just completed the 50 years since they started, and this year, West Dubuque has another tremendous high school football program. Well, they're starting the second 50 years of football. in our district, and they're doing great. But I like those kids. They didn't have much of a clue of what was going on, but we just took it one step at a time. We didn't win very many games the first year, but by the second or third year, or third on, we were competitive with the schools in Dubuque who were three or four times our size.
So they had a field at the middle school back behind there at that point, or how'd that work?
Yeah, we had practice on some of the land that was available there, and there was nothing really level except for where the building was. Things kind of sloped away more or less down a hill.
Right.
But we made it work, and it was just fun to see the enthusiasm they had. And then I also coached wrestling, although I never wrestled in high school, but I did in a phys ed class. And then I went down to the high school every once in a while with Mr. Kilberg and his wrestling team and learned a lot of some more basic things to teach the kids. And, well, we didn't have a track at the junior high either, so I got about 30 stakes, and with my math background, laid out a 200-yard track. Most of the tracks were 400, you know, for high school or whatever, but we didn't have 400 yards available anywhere there. And so it was kind of out in front of the school where we had about 40 kids out for track those years. And later on, when they got to high school in ninth grade, then there was a track. I believe it was might have been a limestone track for a while. I think it was a dirt track a couple years maybe. Then it got to be limestone.
Exactly.
And that helped the track program. Mr. McCready was a very good track athlete himself up at UNI. And I think Steve Finley was the assistant coach. And they welcomed the junior high kids coming in with a little bit of a track background. So the three things I really enjoy coaching were right there: football, wrestling, and track. And a lot of good memories of those kids and how much they improved. And it made school more fun when they could do some things they really were interested in. So,
sure.
I had a good feeling about that.
Yeah. So you were at Cascade with Jim O'Meara. How long did your time last at Cascade as far as your career?
Oh, boy. Let's see. We opened the school up in 1976. And the first graduating class was the class of 77 then. And I was there for 28 years. And the first 15 years, 20 years or so, basically I was pretty darn busy being assistant principal and athletic director. And somewhere in there, the district had a shortage of money sometimes. So we had to sacrifice a little bit. And Mr. Drexler came down and explained that he needed me to help out with Cascade and Bernard Elementary besides. And so we made some adjustments, and Phil Cowder, was kind of hired to be the athletic director, and I was still going to be doing my supervision schedule, and basically took care of Cascade and Bernard Elementary in the morning, and then try to get back to the high school in the afternoon and in the evening, whatever.
Yeah.
It was really busy then, and everybody had to give up a little bit, but it did work. Things turned around, and we did pass a few more bond issues
finally
in the district to, by the time, about 2000 or whatever.
Yeah, that was thanks only to the local option sales tax.
Right. And we had, I think it was 47 portals in the district. We had about 11 or 12 in Cascade, just to create classroom space. And it turned out very well for our district when we got rid of the portables. We had all the classes indoors in, and the school district kept growing. The corridor in Highway 20 was very good for our district. Dyersville, Farley, Upworth, Piasta, all were growing, and they needed room for the schools. And by that time, we finally had a lot more people who were in our school district, and we did pass a couple bond issues to make sure that the high schools, junior highs, got the space they needed for instruction, and the elementaries needed either newer buildings or additions put on. And here it is, 2019, yeah, 50 years later, and what are we doing? We're going to be adding 6 new classrooms to Piasta for next year. So we're very fortunate to have our enrollment going up. Lots of districts, their enrollment's going down.
You know, the remarkable thing that I always looked at was the fact that we are the only rural district in Iowa that has 2 high schools.
Right.
Nobody else has that situation.
I'm not sure anybody else would want to do it that way either, but it was a struggle sometimes, yeah. But we came through.
Yeah. That was, it always has been a remarkable thing, and you know, we are so fortunate to be in this situation right now, and I really think that, or know that, the only reason that we are here is because of that legislative stuff that set up the local option sales tax, mm-hmm. and the fact that it was countywide, so we couldn't be submarined by our neighbors to the west.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
we have been previously.
There were Dubuque County was really into tourism and manufacturing and making areas for new factories to be built and replacing the old ones, and a lot of that sales tax helped everyone in our county improve their schools, and the improved schools basically opened doors for more people to move in, and so we've been pretty much growing at maybe a rate a little bit higher than the state average, like that.
Take a look at the state and the rural areas that are losing population, mm-hmm. and services, and the corridor is really good for us as far as
right.
the future.
Right.
You know, I'm just thinking things that really are what gets you fired up. What's your passion? What is your passionate thoughts, feelings for interest that you have?
You mean back when I was in the school business,
yeah,
or now that I'm retired?
Well, either way, you name it.
Well, I don't know if it was really a passion when I was working full time, but eventually there was more changes. The schools started getting computers, and then we needed computer teachers and stuff like that. And I remember Mr. Beck was our one of our science teachers in Cascade, and he had to be moved out of doing student council so he could take another class of running computers and so on. And I found out another time then that, well, I had to...
You had another job?
Another job, yeah. I didn't really have too many taken away, but we were used to, you know, well, okay, somebody's got to do it, and it's your turn again. So I was supposed to take over the Cascade Student Council, which I really didn't have any kind of a background for. And I met with the seniors who were elected for student council that year and told them, most of you were in student council last year or previous years, and I'd like to have you guys show me and tell me what we need to do to try to be better than we had been. And that worked pretty good because they had the freedom to talk to me on an even level, and I was trying to make sure I received their input. Most of it was very good. They did have a few crazy ideas, and we'd all laugh. But I after that first year, I thought, well, this is something that...
So you really got fired up about it pretty
Yeah, well. I enjoyed it. It just took a few months to figure out what we were doing. And we did quite a bit with procedures, making sure that our meetings were done in a manner that would be similar to what they would do in an industry or somewhere else with a group of people making decisions. And we started working a little bit more on the state program of student council, and that took a busload of kids each year to Iowa State, where they had a great big day-long conference with a lot of good speakers, motivating people. And that led to, well, there was a national level too. And so every year I could take three or four kids from Cascade, and if we had room in a suburban, I would ask for a kid or two from West Dubuque High School or Monticello to, hey, if you got anybody you'd like to ride along, they're welcome. And we filled up that suburban every year going to national conferences. And it was a good experience for me, and a lot better experience for the kids, who could meet with 1,500 other student council kids in June, and they were mostly the juniors and seniors at their school. And we had one meeting in Florida where housing was really hard to find. It was a smaller place. Some houses took in 15 kids in that trip to Florida, and everybody just adjusted to it. It was what it was. But normally, we went to Kansas City for a conference. We were down in Oklahoma. There was seven or eight other places we had where they'd only have one or two students with another high school student and their parents. They were like the foster parents for the time we were down in the national conferences, and we heard some of the best motivational speakers in the country, and it was a big group of some of the bright kids who had energy and wanted to do things and accomplish things in their school and then develop those skills into what they wanted to do later on, going to college or their life. And so I thought it was a valuable thing to have. It was a fun thing the whole time, but they learned a lot more than they knew because they were with some of the nation's really high-powered, academic, activity-minded students.
And I got to tell you that I had a similar experience at Epworth when I was there, and I got called in one day and was informed that the previous student council moderator was going to do something else. So this is going to be my part of my job. And so I
it was your turn,
hadn't
you?
Yeah, I got involved with it like you did. Well, this went on for a number of years. And finally, by the mid-90s, we went to a block schedule program for our kids, which really was a great move in the right direction. Well, the issue that I had with student council is we could never have enough time to get together and organize and do our objectives. And finally, once the block schedule started, I thought, why couldn't we just have a class for our student council kids?
Right.
So I started a leadership class.
Mm-hmm.
We met every other day for an hour and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you can imagine.
What a good opportunity.
It was great. And I did this until I retired. And it was one of my most meaningful things for me, to give these kids an opportunity to take off and envision what they thought was important and have it actually happen. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was good fun stuff. Well, listen,
we both did the same thing then,
yeah,
kind of, didn't we?
We did.
And you were the assistant principal over there, so we were kind of the shadows behind the head. And
we were there.
Did a lot of stuff.
A lot of water over the dam.
Yeah.
a lot of great memories. I mean, I think we were both in a great spot to go through our careers and be able to connect with all kinds of nice colleagues that we worked with, and a lot of kids that I still get. We go to Florida for the winter usually, and being up mine in the airport someplace and up here, hey, Mr. Howard, he's somebody that I've had.
Do you
shopping center someplace, hey, Mr. Howard.
Do you recognize him right away?
Sometimes.
Because I get that too. They'll say, hey, Mr. Rutz, remember me? And and now I say, I need a little more information.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Help me out, because when you work with thousands of kids for 28, 30 years,
we were sitting in a,
they change, but we're already old.
We were sitting on bleachers at the Daytona 400 one year, and this kid came up. And, you know, he was an 83 grad from West Dubuque.
Oh, boy.
Lived in Minneapolis, but he was from Farley. And, you know, you never know when you're going to run into somebody. So, anyway. Hey, thanks, Steve, for your time. We had a great session.
I enjoyed sharing with you what you were asking, and hopefully it gave you, and anybody else who wants to listen to it, a little snapshot of what we were doing, or what I was doing, and I think it's a wonderful idea. And now it's kind of on the not this history page you have going on for West Dubuque schools.